Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. God bless you, radio listeners. I'm here once again before you. I thank God. I give God glory. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for allowing me, praise God, to be able to rise early this morning and to give him praise and honor. I want to let you know today that none of this is done in my own self. It is done through the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am blessed to be able to just come before you this morning just to share once again in this rich word of God. And I pray, praise God, that you are, praise God, receiving it, praise God, and let not only receive it, but examine the word of God. Because the word of God shall stand forever. It will never, ever diminish, but it will be forever. Even when the world has deceased, the word of God will stand. And I pray this morning for you and yours. And I pray, praise God, that the understanding come. Praise God, that you may understand that this, praise God, is not a class. This, praise God, is just not something, praise God, to be said over the air or, praise God, to you. But it is something, praise God, that you may know, praise God, that Jesus Christ is soon to return. And, Father, this morning as I come to you, Lord, I come, Father, asking that you forgive us of every iniquitous sin and shortcoming. Father God, allow your word to find place in us. That it may examine us, praise God, and all those things that is not like you. Father God, remove them, praise God, that our prayers be not hindered. That we, praise God, may be able to receive the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Praise God, knowing, praise God, that you cannot lie. Father God, you never lied, and God, you never will. And Father, I thank you. I thank you this morning for life. I thank you for strength. I thank you, praise God, for being closed in my right mind and having a mind to call upon you this morning. Father God, I thank you. I give you praise for your son, Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you right now, Lord, as we go into the word of God and those that hear the word today. And go out, praise God, and hear the word, Father God. And the word goes out to accomplish that in which it has been sent. Father God, let it find understanding in those, praise God, without understanding. That they may know that you are soon to return. Save them, Father. Save them for their soul's sake. Hey, in Jesus' name, I ask this. This morning, praise God, thank you for coming, praise God, listen to us. This is your pastor, Pastor Olaf Stalin, with the Norfolk Word International Ministry. And please do not forget, praise God, you can go to Pastor Olaf Stalin, and hear the message all that you would like. You can pray it, it can pray for you, you can listen to the Word. There are many other messages, praise God, that has already been placed. Listen to the Word of God. It is, you can do it. You can find the word, praise God. There is no excuse, you know, praise God, for not knowing what Jesus' plan is for you and for this universe. Amen. Listen to the word of God. And this morning, we're going to talk to you, particularly, praise God, of a subject. It is the believer's preparation for Christ's return. The believer's preparation for Christ's return. Now that means, praise God, if they return, means somebody is coming back. It's going to show up again. And I want you to know, praise God, to direct your attention to 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. And I'm going to start out, praise God, to let you know, praise God, that what is going on now in America is the same thing that was going on in the time of the Thessalonians. Many had questions about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was so much confusion about this matter. Now, the same thing is happening even today. In spite of all the fact that we know, praise God, that we have God's word on the matter, this should just get rid of any misunderstanding, but that's not so. And even during the time of the Thessalonians, the confusion came because, this is why it came about, because they did not have the word of God. And that is why Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes this epistle's letter to them to explain the truth and tie in the confusion. So this morning, I want to try to help you out, praise God, because many think that it's a myth. And many think that you've been saying this all these years. I remember I used to hear my grandmother say it, and it's been about 60, 70 years now, that she said Christ is coming back. But you know, praise God, I see more closer to his return than ever before. But today we have dozens of false teachers in concerning this return of Christ, but there is only one truth, and that is what God has especially stated in his word, not my word, but in the word of God. God does not want us to be ignorant concerning the times in which live. You see, God does not like ignorance. It's something I can't even tolerate, and it's something that he will not tolerate. He says God do not want us ignorant concerning the times in which we live. But now let us see, why is this? Can he help us become, praise God, a little bit more, to give us a little bit more understanding? Let us look at what he inspired the Apostle Paul to write to us. See, he has already talked to me, if it's not in writing, it really didn't happen. But this is in writing. And Paul writes us, praise God, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. This disencourage began in chapter 4 and 13, and that explains the events of the rapture of the believer alive and dead. We're trying to get all of the mist, move the mist, because, you know, people are moved sometimes by what they hear, not what they believe, that in the rapture of the believer alive and dead from the earth. Paul continues giving further information about what we may call the rapture, the getting up from the grave, if we might say. Some may say, well, I don't find the rapture in the word, but they're going to get up. The dead shall rise. You can say rapture. You can say be resurrected. You may say come out of their sleep. But either way you may put it, for your understanding, they will get up. He says that he has no need to write unto them concerning the times and the seasons. That he has no need for that. But they wanted to know when the dead would be resurrected or raptured, the rapture would occur. And Paul reminds them that he had already told them that the time and the seasons of the Lord's return could not be specifically stated. Now, the Bible says, no man knows the time of the hour that the Son of Man might appear, not even to the angels. Okay? That's understanding. What part of that you do not understand? God has not revealed when he will return. But that he returned, that he will return, okay, in verse 1, Thessalonians 5 and 2, he continues saying, they knew perfectly that the Lord's return would come what? Quickly. As a thief, you see, a thief don't tell you when he's coming to your house to take your goods, as a thief in the night. For Paul had taught them to live expecting the immediate return of the Lord. Don't realize like you don't know he's coming back, baby. Live like he's soon to return. Do not let him catch you with your work undone. He's reminding them that Christ could return any moment, and therefore, informing the believers, continue to keep looking for him, for in any moment the return of the Lord could happen. In other words, he did not have to tell them to be always looking for the Lord's return. That is the normal way a Christian should be living anyway. If you're doing what's right in your mama's house, if you're in your mother's home, you ain't got to worry about when she's coming back. If you're doing what is wrong, you ready whether she come today or tomorrow, it's okay. But if you're doing anything wrong, you want to try to know when she's going to return so you can get it in order. Amen. What he was saying right here, he said anytime he should come, anytime he would return. But it is clear that Paul was teaching the coming of the Lord will be sudden and unexpected moment. He's not going to knock on your door and say, here I am, I'm here. He could return even after this message. He can return before this message is over. He can return in the next second. The Lord's coming is like unto the thief in the night. See, I just said to you, a thief ain't going to tell you when he's coming to your house. If he tell you that, then he's not a thief. In the night, who is expecting and surprised his victims? That's the purpose of him taking it, because he wants to surprise you. You don't want you to know he's coming. The Lord has told us when he comes, when he is coming, always present it as automatically. Paul explained that they knew the truth. When you know the truth will set you free, make you free. They knew his truth. But what he implies is that the unsaved world will be caught off guard. Oh, that's a scary moment. That's a scary moment. Ah, Jesus. And to them, it would be as an unexpected thief coming in the night. Paul is saying to you, know this truth, and that you are to live in the knowledge of Christ's imminent return. Yet it is different with the world. I'm quite sure, praise God, that there will be numbers of Christians who will be caught off guard. Lord, don't let me be caught off guard. But Paul's statement means that we certainly should not be surprised or caught off guard. Because if you are looking for his return, when he comes, you ready. Now, if you would notice, praise God, that in verse it says, for when they say, clearly, this is referred to the situation of Christ's return, it relates to the lost world. Christians should live prepared for the Lord's return any moment, any second. You should be looking for the return of your Maker, your Master. In this event, it refers to as the day of the Lord. This is one of the many misunderstood and understood, you know, paraphrases in the Word of God. You see, I have time to go through all of these details, but it is used in the Bible 23 times. And it refers to a number of different events. It basically means a day in which the Lord has chosen to reveal himself and a day he has foretold would happen. Now remember, he says it shall come to pass. He has never lied. Whatever he said has come to pass, and it will come to pass. The days of the Lord is not just one event in history. It's not. Each time the phrases refer to God exercising various judgments at various times, some conclude that it is only referred to one time. That is God's pouring his wrath on the earth in the middle of the tribulation. But that is not substantial, you know, by scripture. But the phrase do refer to not to one, but a number of times God has and will in judgment. Listen to me carefully, people. Ready or not, he will return. It's not based upon you on whether you be ready or not, because he's giving you warning after warning. He will return. It is absolute. It does not mean what the pre-rapture, the views was concluded, which is that the rapture will occur in the middle of the tribulation. It can occur right now. It can occur right now. So you must be ready whenever it may occur. You got to understand that the word cannot lie. Now the unsaved at the second coming will feel safe and secure, not understanding that sudden destruction will come up on them. They think, well, we made it, we're okay. But sudden destruction, you are not going to be safe. The only way you can be safe, my friend, is to prepare for Jesus' return and knowing that you are safe in the arms of the Lord, not feeling that you feel safe and secure. No. Trick of the enemy. The world lives in a false and blind sense of security. Yes, it does. It is like the person who feels safe and secure in their homes at night at their street. But most people do not expect a thief to break into their home, yet it happened, and most are what? Unprepared. You never think about nobody coming into your home. But I thank God, praise God, I'm up off and on through the night praying, checking the doors and looking, because I am, you know, it's not that someone is coming, but the devil is as a thief in the night. There is the element of this most people things to miss. The time of the Lord's return at the rapture, the resurrection, will be in a time of peace. Everything seems to be all right, set, perfect, no noise, no mouse running across everything. It's going to be like a cat walking on paper, so peaceful. Do you know a cat can walk on paper and you never know he's walking across it? That's how soft he walks. It will be as a time of peace and safety. And each time there is some horrific event in the world, people begin to talk about the Lord's return. But yet Paul states that the world will be in a time of peace and safety. I believe the Bible said they would say peace and then sudden destruction. Paul used an example of a woman who is expecting. The birth pain comes sudden. If you have a baby, you already know. It comes suddenly and mostly unpredictable. The doctor said, oh, you're going to have the baby in June. You may have already had the baby in June and you had the baby in July. Because the baby comes when it gets ready. The baby will come. In other words, the woman is going about her business, and suddenly the pains begin. It revealed that it is futile. It's time for me to come out of this net. I'm ready to break out. And to speculate as to when the Lord will return, you just need to know that you're ready. But you see, as a woman and a child, we know the world is moving ever and never to the Lord's coming. No. They're looking to that. They're trying to build more, expand more, you know, make it more lucrative. Everybody now is all into their sales. Everybody now is this and that. I look at, praise God, the shows on the TVs. Every show you see in families fighting against families, women's against women, no respect for each other. Every show you see is all about bickering, no peace. Everybody's fighting everybody. Nobody's getting along. But you see, unexpected. An unexpected move of the Lord can really cut your future. You see, and as a woman knows her child will be coming soon, but she doesn't know the exact time. But likewise, believer, know that the event is coming, but not when. But now when, though? We know it's coming, but when, Lord, when? This purely, you know, explained that the doctrine of the of Christ's coming and his return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's imminent. It is imminent. It's going to happen. You may not say, oh, they've been saying this all year. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's the most thing. Got to keep saying it. The Christian sounds should not be taken by surprise. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, Christian, you should be taken by surprise. A true believer are not caught in darkness. Verses 4 and 5, darkness in the Bible always refers to the moral state of unbelievers. Darkness in the absence of light. In the darkness you cannot see. Moral is in the sin that blinds a person, both who is unsaved and also a child of God. Blindness. You can be blind walking with your eyes wide open. You've seen a blind person, eyes open, but they still can't see? Their eyes are not closed. They have no sight. They have their eyes wide open, but they can't see. The phrase is saying that the true Christian can see and know the light of spiritual truth. But in verse 5, they are the children of light. This is a sharp contrast, I tell you, my friend, to the unsaved who are in darkness. The Bible says that he wishes above all things that every man would come to the sense of repentance. Because he don't desire that any soul be lost. But if he is lost, he is lost because the devil, Satan, that old sly fox, the enemy, okay, that the adversity, he's our adversary, he has blinded them from the truth. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. You can only discern them in the Spirit of God. Verse 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. In other words, the unsaved cannot comprehend spiritual truth. They do not have the new nature that causes their understanding to be fruitful and multiply. That comes with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is given to the believers. Now, the Christian then should not be overtaken by his truth. But Christians, believers, will be resurrected, given new bodies with an eternity with the Lord. 5 and 6. It reminds you that the Christians not to be asleep, but to be watching and watching sober with a clear mind, that knowing that Jesus Christ is soon to return. Nevertheless, what the world says, nevertheless how the people act, just know that he will return. You have to understand, my friend, that the Lord declared that heaven, praise God, you get to heaven, you must come through the narrow way, not the broad way. And he says there are only going to be a few that's going to find it. Not a big old whole world. He said a few that will find the pathway to heaven. Because the way is not broad, but the way is a narrow way. It's so narrow that you can only go through it if you got Jesus in front. It's so narrow. Clearly that it is possible for a believer to be asleep and not be watching and sober. The word sober means to be aware of the reality of our lives and the times we are living. Many believers are drunk. You're walking drunk. You ever seen a drunk man when he's walking drunk? He staggers, but yet he still thinks he's on the path, walking, but he's wobbling while he's taking that path. With worldliness and all the things that the world offers, Paul really instructs and to teach the believers, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust. The world is filled with lust. Everybody wants to be known, seen, heard in their actions. The world is covered with lust. Lust is a powerful demon, and it takes over the universe. Lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God who gives us himself for us, that we might be redeemed, that from all of the iniquities and the purification unto him, a particular people, jealous of good works. Jealous of good works. Now, and the one who believes in Jesus Christ is given forgiveness for all their sins. The Bible said, if you confess your sins, if you would confess, if, remember the word if you would confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all the unrighteousness. He said, I will put your sins in the sea of forgetful and remember them no more. He's standing saying, come, don't try to get rid of it. Bring it to me. I'll take it. I'll get rid of it for you. Turns and he gives you a new way, a new look on life. The one who believes in Jesus Christ is given the forgiveness of all of his sins. And God then removed the condemnation of their sins and imparted them into, you know, and imparts unto them his righteousness. God declared that righteousness meaning right in his eyes. Based in on God's forgiveness and imparted righteousness, they are no longer condemned. See, I don't care what you say about my past. See, God has forgiven me for my past, and I will no longer live in it because you are in it. See, you have not even crossed over to the right side. So you can say what I used to be or what I used to, that's right, what I used to do. But I can thank God I'm not who I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. But God is working on me. And I no longer can let you allow you to condemn me in my past. Because now my eyes are set on eternal salvation. Come on, Jesus. the condition of the unsaved world in verse 7, the unsaved will be condemned and will experience, Jesus, will experience the just judgment of God based on their rejection of God's truth. The unsaved will not escape the results of their choices in refusing to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot escape it. You may think you're getting by, but you're not. You may get away, but you won't get by. Now, how often you hear the religious unsaved saying things like, well, I'm not so bad. I believe my goods will be outweighed the bad I have done, and God will let me go through heaven. The truth is salvation is not a matter of how much good or bad we have done. All men have sinned. All are sinners. And under condemnation of sin, God says there is none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3 and 10. So those who think their goods will outweigh their bad can already know their results. They're putting their trust in their good works. Works won't get you into heaven. Salvation will. They have no good. They have no good. But in fact, sinners and unjust will be judged by their sin and condemned. However, most of the world totally rejects the Lord, and although they inwardly know he existed and they are responsible to him. The blind by their sins and ignorant and ignored him. They live their lives with little or no thoughts of their coming or death and eternity. Some people think they will live forever. That's something that never crosses their mind. But if you was born, you will die. A person who knows the truth needs to act on it. And Paul states this. He says, for us to be sober and watch. Being sober means thinking with an unhindered mind. Here lies the problem. Many hear the truth, and even know it is true, many will not act on what they know. In other words, they have a head of knowledge of God and salvation, but have a heart, but not a heart of knowledge. A head knowledge will not save you. Head knowledge will not save you. Faith is a matter of acting on the believed truth. If only one truly believes something, he will act on it. One may know the truth and have no faith, not believe it. He will define faith for us. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. James in chapter 2, verses 18, 20, and 26 tells us that faith without works is dead. Sometimes that is dead has not life in it. It is without action and cannot and do not and do nothing. The Bible faith is one acting. One acting is the Bible faith. And today I would ask you, do you know who Jesus is? Do you believe he's going to return? Do you believe? I learned God wants us to give. He wants us to give. But you can't be saved by what you do on your action. You can only be saved for the return of Jesus Christ by your belief. You must believe. It is impossible to please him without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to believe him. You cannot please God without faith. You cannot please him without faith. And you must understand. You must understand that God is coming. He's coming back for those who are ready. God confirms that. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that he's with us. We are at the home in the body from the Lord. When you are absent from the Lord, you will not go into eternity in this fleshly body. You will be lifted out of you in your spirit. You must be ready to meet the Lord. Believers, unbelievers, know that Jesus Christ will return. He will not delay his coming. He will return. Will you be ready? Be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, I ask you right now, Lord, those who do not know you in the pardon of their sin, God, pardon them that they may have a life with you in eternity. Let them know that the eternity of hell is eternity and the eternity of heaven is eternity. Father God, give them a chance once again to realize, Father God, they need you, Father, in the pardon of their sin. They need you, Father, to live a life eternal. And, Father God, I pray, God, that throughout this day, that someone, praise God, will speak a word of encouragement to turn the unbeliever or the believer back to you, Father God, that they may live in paradise with you forever, because you will return. God, your coming is at its nigh. Father, I thank you, God, for this word today. Let it be blessed in your name. Amen. You be blessed.